since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Thrilled to bring in our next guest here on Drive Time Sports, another Pro Football Hall of Famer. Just a few weeks ago, we caught up with Willie Lanier. Today, we're going to talk Dallas Cowboy football with Mel Renfro, who is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, also a two-time Super Bowl champion with the Dallas Cowboys. We'll talk about his 14-year career, and we'll also talk about the new foundation that he is pushing with Mike Ditka. It's called Mike Ditka's Gridiron Greats. And we'll also talk about National Pork Rind Day, which works hand in hand. Mel Renfro joining us over the phone right now. And Mel, it's a great pleasure to get you on the show. I definitely appreciate the time. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and good talking to you. It's a great day. And how about those Cowboys? They kicked off the season really well, and I just hope they keep going.
Yeah. If you're a Cowboy fan, you got to be happy with the way things are going so far. I think that's a perfect place to start here. I mean, with you being a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame and you spending your entire 14-year career with the Dallas Cowboys, winning two Super Bowls, going to 10 Pro Bowls, I mean, the resume goes on and on and on. When we talk about your involvement with the team today, how much do you keep in close tabs, and how often are you around the team?
Well, actually, you know, since Jerry Jones took over when, you know, Tex Schramm left and Tom Landry left, there's not that much of a connection, but Jerry does keep in touch with all of the older players as far as having activities once or twice a year where he brings everybody together where we can get together and talk and just make sure we're still familiar with each other and with, you know, what the Cowboys are all about. Because, you know, once a Cowboy, always a Cowboy. So, you know, Jerry's done a great job, and it's just something about the Cowboys from the winners of the 60s and the 70s and the winners of the 90s, and hopefully that they're going to get back in that mode now because they're looking really good, and we're just hopeful that they'll continue to play as well as they are right now.
Well, Mel, we can talk about your career just a bit. I know the game has changed so much, and that's the direction we're going to take this conversation as we talk about Mike Ditka's Gridiron Greats, and we'll talk about National Pork Rind Day, and we have a list of things we want to get into. But as far as the game has changed, you and I had a great conversation off of the cuff, and again, we can tie this in with Mike Ditka. Today's game, drastically different than when you played.
Well, you know, the game seems it's bigger. You know, the guys seem so much bigger. It's faster. There are so many more moving parts. You know, there's so many more. There's less defense. It seems like they promoted offense, I guess, to make the game more interesting. I'm a defensive guy, so it's not that popular to me, but I guess people like to see touchdowns and long runs and fantastic plays. But, you know, the game has changed in the way to where the media has hyped it, and, you know, that's fun. It's made the game fun. You know, you see the fans having all the fun that they're having, the kids, and even female fans are really getting into the game. And, you know, it's good for the game. You know, it's good for pro football, and it's just fun to watch. And, you know, it's still football. You know, you got to go out and put those pads on, and you got to score those touchdowns, and you got to win football games.
Yeah, the idea is still the same. I think in today's realm, we're seeing so many hybrid players, especially at the college game, on the defensive side of the ball. We're seeing guys that can be almost interchangeable, be it from safety to linebacker. We're really seeing a change in that regard, and I like that because I think you kind of fit that mold. For those who are unaware, I mean, when you were at the University of Oregon, here you are as a running back, and you get selected in the second round by the Dallas Cowboys, and Tom Landry has the idea to build a dominating defense, and he wants to put you in the second. How difficult was that for you to make that transition?
Well, it was easy for me because, you know, in high school, I went both ways. We never left the field in high school. And actually in college, we played both ways, offense, defense, and all special teams. We were on the field for most of the entire time. So I was gifted, I was blessed with the ability to play good defense, good tackler, to read the quarterback because I played quarterback. And, you know, when you're able to do a lot of things, you can play a lot of positions, and you can give a lot to your team. And, of course, that, of course, helped our team to be as successful as it was. And, you know, I just had a lot of fun playing football. And when I got to the pros, it was very easy to make that transition from offense to defense. And, of course, I led the league in returning punts and kickoffs for the first 2 years, so I still got an opportunity to carry the football, and I had many, many interceptions. So the game didn't change for me. It just was just on a higher level, a much faster level, and a much tougher level.
You definitely got to touch it a lot defensively. Going back to 1969, you lead the NFL with 10 interceptions. Still to this day, you're the Cowboys' all-time leader in interceptions with 52 throughout the course of your career. I know a lot of records today, well, a lot of records in general, it's based off of longevity. Longevity is part of the it's part of the process, right? We saw Tom Brady on Sunday night pass Drew Brees in yardage. The longevity has been absolutely incredible. How did you keep yourself in that kind of shape to play at that Hall of Fame level for 14 seasons?
Well, like I say, I was blessed. You know, I was blessed with athletic ability. You know, I ran track in high school and in college. Matter of fact, we had a national championship team at the University of Oregon in 1962 where we held world records in the 4x100. I could broad jump 26 feet. I could high jump 6'6". You know, just a versatile athlete who could do a lot of things. And I had a sense on the football field, because being a quarterback, being a safety, you know, being a defensive halfback, you could see things. And knowing offenses and knowing defenses and knowing how to get into the minds of your opponent made you a valuable opponent. And I used all those tools, you know, using that at my disposal to use that as an advantage when I played on the football field. That's why I was so successful in my career, and you know, masking all the wins that I had and my teammates had.
Again, our guest right now is Mel Renfro, Pro Football Hall of Famer, spent his 14-year career with the Dallas Cowboys. Mel, it wasn't that long ago I had the pleasure of speaking with Willie Lanier on the show, and we talked about getting to the Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl, and of course you got to win two of them. You guys were in contention most seasons to get to the Super Bowl, and Willie brought up something that I thought was very interesting. He told me that it was much more difficult to get to the Super Bowl than it is to win a Super Bowl, so he cherished those AFC Championship games just as much as he did those Super Bowl victories. Is that a similar sentiment in your mind? I mean, getting to the Super Bowl so much more difficult and winning those championship games to get there?
Oh, absolutely right. It was, they wrote books about us at a few years back, and one of the books was titled Next Year's Champions. It just seemed like in 66, 67, 68, 69, you know, we lost that game that was going to get us to the Super Bowl, so we were labeled as next year's champions. But that one game, boy, we got there, and we crossed that bridge, and from then on, you know, we were Super Bowl champions, and you know, everything else was behind us. But I tell you, it's no easy chore. It's no easy task to get there, to get to the Super Bowl. Or even stay there. So, you know, you got to give it credit to guys like Brady and the rest of them, because, man, I tell you, they are really skilled, great, superb athletes to play at such a high level for a long time and to keep their teams, their organizations on top.
We know it's a grind, right? I mean, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And when you have a leader like Tom Landry, I'm sure this is probably a tad bit easier. But embracing the idea of the mental commitment it takes to become a Super Bowl champion after you've done it one time, it's more difficult the second time than the first. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, absolutely. No question about that. You have to keep your eye, keep your eye on that star. I mean, you got to know, and because you were Super Bowl champions, everybody's coming at you. You know, they're coming after the best. They're coming after the world leaders. And we were there. Of course, we were the Dallas Cowboys, so everybody was coming after us anyway. But once you became the best, you know, in order to beat the best, or for the other teams to be good and to beat the best, be good, they had to beat the best. So they always had to beat the Cowboys. So we had to play every game like it was a championship game. And that's what made us perform. And Landry kept us on our toes. But he let us know every game that, you know, what was in front of us. And we, for the most part, we stood up to the task.
Now, one more question about your playing days before we talk about Mike Ditka's gridiron greats. I have to ask you about the preparation and going up against a quarterback like Roger Staubach in practice week in and week out, and how that, I guess, in a sense, shaped you to the defensive player that you become. Did that play a big factor in your success on the field, going up against this style of offense in practice day in and day out?
Well, when you had Tony Dorsett, and you had a Drew Pearson, and you had a Billy Joe Dupree, and of course you had a Mike Ditka with all that experience, and Roger, who was the best, one of the best of all time, and you know he could get into your head just as well as you were trying to get into his head. So you know, it was just a matter of mind over mind. And you know, and we were such great friends and great teammates, and willing to help each other do whatever we could to be the best. And I think that's what made us so good, is as teammates helping each other, assisting each other wherever we could to be just a little bit better.
Mel Renfro, again, our guest right now. Mel, when some players leave the football field, they get faced with physical and mental challenges. I think this has really come to light over the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years or so, maybe more so than ever before, which works hand in hand with why you're actually joining us today to talk about Coach Mike Ditka's charity, the Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund. I know you just talked about playing with Coach Ditka a few moments ago, but this is a really neat charity, and it's something that you're proud to be behind.
Oh, absolutely. I remember sitting at events with Mike, and just sitting around the table talking about the old days, talking about the playing days, talking about the tough times, talking about the good times, talking about the victories, talking about the defeats. And Mike had a big heart, and he was, you know, he was a guy that would, you know, give whatever he could to help his teammate. And he just, like I said, he had a big heart and a heart to give. And fortunately, he was gifted enough financially and able to be in a position to put together an organization which could do the things that it did to help those people, those players that were less fortunate and with the Gridiron Greats and the people that he connected with. You know, the Pork Ryan people was just an outstanding marriage that just created an avenue where it brought so much light to what Mike was trying to do and to help the former teammates that were having the mental, emotional, and physical problems. And, you know, it was everybody helping everybody. And, you know, I've always been real excited about being a part of this whole project.
You mentioned National Pork Rind Day, National Pork Rind Appreciation Day, right? So it's an opportunity to celebrate the wonder years of football and at the same time learn a little bit about what's happening with Mike Ditka and the Gridiron Greats Foundation.
Absolutely. It's, you know, the National Pork Rind Day is something that I think is well overdue, and the product is outstanding. I tell you, my wife and I, we were crunching down on it the other day, and she says, you know, this could become addicting. And before we knew it, we were through a couple of bags, and so we had to put it away a while. It had all be gone in no time flat. So it's such a great product, and it's you know, high protein, low carbs, and it's something that's it's good for you. So you know, everything works together for the good, and it's just a great idea that they all came up with to put this program together, and it's only there to help everybody that's involved, and especially these players that are in much need of this financial help and medical help.
Mel Renfro, a pleasure to get you on the show. One last question before I let you go. I always love to kind of get in the mind of the athlete here and talk about accomplishments, be it individual or be it team, and what is more important to the athlete. I think if you ask 100 athletes, you may get 50 different answers. Pro Football Hall of Fame or two-time Super Bowl champ, what is more near and dear to Mel Renfro?
Well, you know, everybody wants to go to the Super Bowl. Everybody wants to win a Super Bowl. You know, I think creating the friendships with the players that I did with my guys, you know, with Roger and Leroy and Dorsett and Dee Dee Lewis, who was my roommate his rookie year. And you know, that's when there was a racial issue where there was a sensitive black and white thing, and they put Dee Dee and I together as roommates, and we couldn't have been better friends, and they created that type of relationship, and that's the way the Cowboys were, to be able to get along together and play well together and create a relationship where guys got together, and when they get together and work together, they're going to have success. And that's what we had throughout most of our career, and we look back on it with fond memories, and God, it just doesn't get any better than Super Bowls and eventually becoming a Hall of Famer.
Well, it's been fantastic listening to you talk over the last 15 or 20 minutes, Mel. I definitely really appreciate the time. I appreciate you sharing stories. And, of course, I appreciate you talking about Mike Ditka's Gridiron Greats. Thank you so much for giving us the time today. It was a pleasure.
You bet, Jordan. Good talking to you.
Again, that's Pro Football Hall of Famer Mel Renfro talking about his legendary 14-year career, all 14 spent with the Dallas Cowboys, and also Mike Ditka's Gridiron Greats. Terrific conversation. We're going to break for just a moment, but more coming up live from the Sutherland Studios. It's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.